The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the f*** up.
And new undisputed UFC middleweight champion of the world, Michael the Count Bisping.
This is Believe You Me on the Gas Digital Network.
All right, everybody, how are we doing? Hope you're all well. We are back with another episode of the Believe You Me podcast. And yes, he is back, the one and only, the great Jesse on Fire. How are you, Jesse? Thanks for joining us.
I am excellent. Thank you for having me on again.
My pleasure, buddy. My pleasure. UFC 270 this week. Lots of big storylines. Big, big fight. In fact, the fights don't get much bigger than this weekend, really, because, I mean, you know, literally, they don't get much bigger. You know, Conor versus Nate Diaz or whatever, that's a bigger fight, but they don't get much bigger than these two motherfuckers. I was talking to them yesterday for BT Sport. They are so big, but they are so softly spoken, you know. They talk like this, Michael, and like on the interviews, you can't fucking hear anything because they talk so quiet. But anyway, we're going to get into all of that stuff and the MMA news in just a little bit. How you been since I last spoke to you, Jess?
Excellent. Excellent. I'm getting prepped. I'm going to 270 this weekend also, and then I'll be at 270. Nice. Be at 271 as well. Are you going to 271 or just 270?
No. I'll be at 270. I'm working for ESPN. Obviously, it's in Anaheim, so just down the street from my house. I cover the pay-per-views for BT Sport, so I do that from my home. Now and again, we do it in person, but I'm yet to make the big jump. You know what I mean? The UFC, they have me on the fight nights, but they're like, we don't need that prick on pay-per-views just yet. Maybe one day. Yeah, and listen, I know my place. I'm fine with that. I love my job. I love commentating and, you know, of course, love to do the pay-per-views one day, but you know, bit by bit, step by step.
Yep. They always have such good. I mean, they've been getting giving Daniel Cormier some flack recently, and Joe Rogan, and I don't understand it. Like, I really feel like it depends on what you're trying to get out of like commentating. I just want to feel like I'm hanging out with my buddies. Like, I want to feel like it's some guys I like hanging out with that are with me on the couch, kind of telling me what's going on. Like, breakdown all the time.
Do you know what, actually? And I wasn't going to talk about this, but it just occurred to me. This morning I woke up, I have my coffee in bed, same routine every day. I sit in bed, I drink too much coffee, I do my emails, I scroll social media. It's probably more scrolling social media, but I pretend to my wife that I'm working and I'm checking emails and stuff. And anyway, on Twitter, there's a fucking story. I think it's on MMA Fighting, and they're discussing their favorite commentators for the UFC. And these pricks, I mean, fair play to them, the journalists, they can write about whatever they want, but they are talking shit about us. And MMA Fighting's a big website. They say, oh, here's our dream team, but then Dominic Cruz is terrible, Daniel Cormier is terrible, Bisping with this guy is terrible. And it's like, what are you trying to do, motherfuckers?
Well, so who's good then?
Well, one guy says I'm good, one guy says I'm terrible. You know what I mean? And I guess it's subjective. But still, it's like, motherfuckers, are you trying to get us fired? This is how we pay the bills. This is how we feed our families. Go fuck yourselves. Are we all going to sit around and have a conversation about how shit you are as journalists? Because most MMA media journalists are shit.
Yeah, I do that on my channel. But I usually do it in response to articles like that. Like when that dude Trent Rainsmith wrote that article where he was trying to get Joe Rogan fired, I lit him the fuck up on a video right after that. Because that's my biggest pet peeve, is people going after people's jobs. I just like that. That's a big bugaboo of mine. I do not like that at all.
A big bugaboo. Yeah. I never saw that one, but I did see this in that article that I saw today. They're, again, talking shit about Rogan. And I'm not just saying this to be a company guy. I'm not kissing Joe Rogan's ass. You know, he's not like a close friend of mine. I've known him for a long time, obviously. We say hi, you know, we all shoot the shit for 5-10 minutes, whatever, but he's not like a close buddy of mine. I respect him a lot, you know, and I have tremendous respect. I think he's a sensational commentator.
Me too.
I love his takes. I love the way he breaks things down. And I love his choice of words. There's a reason why he's got the most popular fucking show on the planet, because he's good at talking. You know what I mean? But lately, all I see is people talking shit about Rogan. I just don't get it.
Yeah, I don't understand that at all. And he loves the sport. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the reasons he's so successful as a stage comic is he's one of those guys whose energy transfers to the people that are listening to him. Mm-hmm. And so he's a guy that, like, you get excited when he gets excited. At least I do.
Yeah, well, see, I mean, you hit the nail on the head. You can tell that he loves the sport. You know what I mean? And he's not faking it. And also he has a really good way, I think, delivering that excitement, but controlling it. You know what I mean? Because we're all guilty. I mean, I get a little too excited. Sometimes I scream and jump out of my fucking seat. Oh my God. You know, and so does Rogan. But it's fucking awesome when people get knocked out and everyone's going crazy. But maybe it's not everyone's cup of tea. Anyway, Jesse, you said you had something that you wanted to discuss. What is on your mind, my friend?
Oh, well, I just saw the most. I mean, if we're starting out.
I don't know where we're going with this, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. The believers, Jesse, might be going rogue right now. Second time on the show, I'm like, take it away, Jesse. What have you got?
Well, last time we were talking about all kinds of weird shit, but I saw someone sent me this. I don't know what your guys' temperature is on the moon landing, but okay. I wore this shirt specifically. Look at this clip that someone sent me. This is a 20-second clip of a NASA scientist who got asked why we haven't gone back to the moon. I was like, oh my God, this is.
Because there's fuck all there.
You want to email it to me, Jesse, and I'll play it. I'll share it on the screen.
Yeah, just do that.
We've never been back to the moon.
I can go to the moon in a nanosecond. The problem is we don't have the technology to do that anymore. We used to, but we destroyed that technology, and it's a painful process to build it back again.
All right. Listen. He got to the moon in a nanosecond. Yes, because you're a fucking nerd, okay? Of course you would. People are paying millions of dollars to go to space. Of course you'd go to Earth in a nanosecond, but shut the fuck up, Dom Pettit.
He's an astronaut, though, and he's saying that they don't go back because they don't know how to build the technology anymore.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but aren't they going to fucking Mars? Aren't we fucking colonizing Mars? If they can get to Mars, I'm just going to throw it out there. Logic tells me we can get to the fucking moon.
That's a fact. If we can get humans to Mars, we can definitely get them to the moon.
We have an international space station. Okay. Mm-hmm. Never been there. Would love to go sometime. But again, if we can have an international space station, if it can be a big fucking city in the sky that all the different countries are going to, if they can do that, we can go to the giant fucking rock in the sky.
It's 500 miles far away, but it's all good.
Yeah. Hold on. But where do you sit on this, Jesse?
I think it's fake 100%.
You think the moon landing's fake? Yeah.
I think it's the greatest psyop in history. I think America should be proud that we juked it. Like, I think,
why?
Convince the entire world that we actually went to win the Cold War.
Yeah, just to say we did it and not Russia.
Yep.
Well, you're out of your fucking mind, Jesse.
I'm with Bisping on this one.
Other than that, listen, if they couldn't go, they'd say, go on out, Russia. If that's the strategy, you'd say, go on, Russia, you have it. You waste all your resources, billions of dollars. Go there because there's fuck all there. And while you're focusing on getting to the moon, we will be fucking sending fucking rockets over. Do you know what I mean? Fucking dickheads. Mm-hmm. They're trying to get – there's nothing to achieve, in my opinion. I mean, maybe I'm missing something.
No, I mean – who knows? Maybe if they mine the moon or something, there's something to get. But
don't hold back, Jesse. Don't hold back, because for the sake of conversation and a podcast, I'd love to hear your counters to what I just said.
Oh, I would love to give it to you. So basically, you got six trips to the moon, five, six trips to the moon, all of which were done during the Nixon administration. You know, Mr. Fucking Honesty, Richard Nixon. That's the only time that anyone's gone to the moon. The farthest that humans have gone outside of or away from Earth, aside from the moon landings, is about 400 or 500 miles maximum. The moon is 237,000 miles away. And supposedly we got there and back on a shuttle that had a computer that had the computing power of a TI-82 calculator.
And okay. Yeah,
technology, and no one can figure out how to get there and back since then.
Oh, bollocks. I fucking guarantee you Elon Musk could get there in a heartbeat if he wanted to.
Not with people.
Well, I don't know.
We got rovers and stuff there.
I didn't know you were going to talk about this. I haven't done any research. I don't have any facts. I don't fucking know. I'm a knucklehead. I fought in the octagon for a living, and I'm going to talk about people fighting for a living. So I can't. But I will tell you this. You sound very paranoid. You sound very conspiracy theoristy. You sound like fucking Eddie Bravo. Tell me about the chemtrails, Jess. Tell me about the chemtrails.
I'm not into any of that stuff.
Go on, Brian, because Brian loves this shit.
So NASA uploads like high-res pictures from their lunar orbiter still all the time. And Apollo 11 put a reflector dish that people use to bounce lasers to the other side of the world. So, I mean, those things would point me to believe that at least somebody went up there to put the fucking reflector dish.
Well, you can get rovers up there. You can get unmanned vehicles up there and to Mars. I mean, what the fuck do I know? This is just
No, I know. Well, I'm going to second that. What the fuck do you know, Jesse? You're sounding crazy. What's he called? The first man on the moon. What was he called? One small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. What was his name?
Neil Armstrong.
How dare you disrespect the Armstrong?
I think he's
Neil Armstrong punched you right in the mouth.
Is Neil Armstrong still alive?
Oh yeah, and he punches people in the mouth.
That's because a guy rolled up on him and asked him to. He put a Bible in front of him. He was like, "Swear on this Bible that you went to the moon," and he punched him in the face instead.
Yeah, good, because it's like, you're a fucking dickhead. That is what I'm known for. And you're in front of me asking me to swear on a Bible. You're disrespecting me. You're disrespecting my achievements, and you're a psycho. He died in 2012, according to Harrington. So thank you very much for that, Harrington. But still, Jesse, you're out of your mind. Hang out with me. I'm going to research this. I'm going to look into it. I'm going to call, but that's a conversation for another day. We got UFC 270.
Yes,
we got
sir.
MMA news. And that is a good topic. It is a good topic for debate, but I am woefully unresearched, you know what I mean? I'm like Daniel Cormier up in this bitch, according to Dominic Cruz. You know what I'm saying?
Let me ask you that. Was that real, or were they doing that to hype Dom's fight?
That was 100% real.
That's what I thought too.
No, it's 100% real, because I was there. I think I'm not sure if we talked about this, so I'll be quick because we might have done. But I was there doing some interviews for BT Sport and grabbing a bit of YouTube content. And then I went back in to talk because we were just leaving, getting in the car. I went, oh, fuck, we never spoke to DC. Let's go back. And when I went back, they were getting into it. And like, one of the producers from ESPN was like, Mike, you might want to step in here because this is good. This is all being recorded and it's getting a little bit testy, you know. So then I went in. So, yeah, to answer your question, 100% real. And I got to say, fair play to Daniel Cormier for taking it so calmly. You know what I mean? Because make no mistake, not that they would throw down, but if this was a scenario where they would throw down, Daniel Cormier would tear him limb from limb. Do you know what I mean? But he, you know, after he just went on TV or a press conference and talked shit and undermined. Anyway, old news at this point.
Yeah. I respect a guy who will give an honest take, but that particular thing fell pretty squarely in the thing we were talking about right out of the gate, where people are already breaking Daniel Cormier's balls. And you're like, if you're going to come out and say that, you might cost this guy this fucking job.
I doubt that, because everyone loves him and Dana loves him and he's good at what he does. But still, you know what I mean? Yeah. Anyway, Harrington, show yourself. Welcome to the show. You are here. You are a part of the show. Come on, my friend. Harrington's been sending through a lot of wild, wacky stories. A little bit too much. A little bit too much, Harrington. You know what I mean? Jesus Christ. I had to completely disregard some of them. He wants me to discuss and break down dwarfs fighting in MMA and midgets and this and that. And I'm like, you know, listen, I'm all for a bit of fun, but let's just try and, you know. But you did find the intergender matchup. The floor is yours, Harrington.
Russia. They had a whole promotion. They took all the stipulations off, and they finally let us see what would happen if a very large woman fought a so sized man. And you know, he was not holding back in this one, Brian. If you want to play it,
and but that is a very large woman. That's the woman underneath. Is this like Russia's version of Triller?
I believe so.
It looks like it. Look at this guy. He's like, no, you don't disrespect my wife like this.
Well, did he tap out and he not let go or something?
No, but watch. They go right back to it. There's the Russian Nelt boys.
Oh, shit. He tried to jump. Stomp him.
Yeah, he tried to do the old WWF break up the pin move.
Hey, Brian, put it to the start of the video. Right at the start, because I want to see how these engage with one another at the start. Yeah. Let's take a look at this. She's a big girl. There's a kick. 1-2, very sloppy. Nice punches. Tries for the head and arm. Women always do the head and arm. And then look at this.
Alexander Pistoletto.
Gets her in the worst. Kezikatame, the Russian Nelk boys having great time there.
Ish
indeed. I mean, this would never, ever be sanctioned. And rightly so. I mean, look at this. I mean, Henry Cejudo, Amanda Nunes. I said Amanda Nunes might beat Henry Cejudo, but after the fight against Juliana Pena, I'm not so sure.
He wasn't dropping hammers on her, at least.
I don't know. Harrington, what were you going
to
say?
It seemed like he was trying to. Like, any time he could get the separation, he was, like, leaning into the elbow there. It just seemed like he wasn't very comfortable, you know, especially just trying to keep a larger person down with his frame. And then dealing with interference in the fight was pretty fun as well.
How emasculating is that, though? Do you know what I mean? Because that's the thing. I've spoke about this. When I was training, when I was a fighter, I would never spar a woman. And I know that makes me sound like a sexist pig. Right, I understand that, but it's like, no, I'm training for a fight and I want to train properly. And if I'm going against a woman, I'm definitely going to pull it back. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? I'm going to slow it down. I'm not fighting a woman. I'm fighting a big, strong guy that can kick my fucking ass. I want to get ready for it and I don't want to slow it down. Because if you go in with a woman, you're a prick if you fucking crack her full on in the face. So I can only imagine that if you're going to fight a woman, I mean, what do you achieve out of that? Do you know what I mean? If you beat a woman, you're a piece of shit. Yeah. If you get your ass kicked off a woman, you're a laughing stock. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yep. Yeah. When I roll with girls at jiu-jitsu, I just basically, I use enough strength to make sure that I don't like get, you know, embarrassingly submitted. But I would never roll as hard. Like, I would never go as hard as I could against a girl, no matter, like.
Don't lie, Jesse. Don't lie. When you're rolling, that's very different. If she's getting you in a fucking triangle and you're about to tap out, you are fucking exploding.
Oh, I'll explode to make sure I don't get submitted. But I'm not going to, like, I'm not going to use strength to try to, like, you know, to win. Just to make sure I don't lose.
I'm looking for a video here while we talk of one time when I did do. Oh, here it is. Is this the video? No, it's not the video. It's a picture. Where is it? Hold on. No, it was Chris Cyborg. I did a little thing with Chris Cyborg.
Well, she's different.
Yeah. No. But it was even just I sent a video, sorry, a happy birthday video to someone that I know. You know what I mean? So I masked it up. It was a pretend thing with Chris Cyborg. That she was kicking my ass. You know what I mean? I was like, whoa, you know, hey, happy birthday in between it. But I said, hey, just go, you know, make it look like you're kicking my ass. Fuck me. Did she take that? Fucking, what was the expression? Something and run with the ball and run with it. She cracked the fuck out of me. I was like, hold on, Cyborg. This is don't make me fucking slap you. You know, don't make me do that, Cyborg. Anyway, shout out Chris Cyborg.
What do you think she walks around at? My buddy, I don't think I've ever been in the same room as her, but my buddy was on a flight with her. He's like, dude, she's fucking huge.
Oh, she's jacked. Yeah, I don't know. I'd say probably something like 170.
Yeah.
Something like that. She's a big girl. Yeah, she's very dedicated. Today we are welcoming back IP Vanish VPN to the show. You know the deal. IP Vanish has been a longtime sponsor of ours. So it's so great to have them back. And let me tell you about IP Vanish. If you care about the security of your online activity, and you really should, the easiest way to protect yourself is with IP Vanish VPN. Rated 4 out of 5 stars on Trustpilot, IP Vanish provides an encrypted connection for all of your internet traffic, helping to prevent websites, Wi-Fi providers, or even hackers from intercepting your data. You know, we're talking all your financial details, personal information, online activity is completely safe from threats with IPVanish. Okay, you're not going to get hacked. You're not going to have people logging into your bank account, people hacking your Instagram, your social media and all that stuff, and changing your passwords and blackmailing you. Believe me, that stuff goes on. Okay, IPVanish eradicates all of that. And also, if you're in other countries, you can maybe access certain pornographic websites. What do I know? But still, get started. If you're in Abu Dhabi, trust me, it's going to come in handy. Get started with this limited time offer and save 50% off your monthly and annual subscriptions by going to ipvanish.com/believe. 50% off, ladies and gentlemen. One more time, that is ipvanish.com/believe. And that's all lowercase, by the way. UFC London was just announced. Very excited about that. That's good. And I know it's been kind of tentatively scheduled for a while. March 19th is the date. We still don't have a main event. There is some fights announced. If I'm missing anything, Harrington, feel free to join in.
Paddy's on it, right?
Paddy the Baddy versus Jared Gordon.
Yeah.
I don't think that's going to be the main event.
So no. I did have some news about that. Dana White did come out and say that to Barstool, but I know both managers for Jared Gordon and Paddy Pimblett spoke up and said that nothing is in the works yet. So no definite on that being the fight and the opponent yet.
Well, I understand what you're saying there, Harrington, and Dana cannot put a gun to the head and say you are fighting. But I will say this, him being the president of the fucking organization and those both being fighters that are under contract that want to fight for the organization, there's a pretty good chance that they're going to fight. They can come out and say, fucking hell, lads, I haven't heard fuck all about that. Guarantee, if Dana said that on Barstool Sports, that's the fight we're going to see. Just like when I was fighting Rockhold, right? I didn't hear about it firsthand. I heard about it on ESPN. But did the fight go ahead? Yes, it did.
Mm-hmm. Did you see Chael's video that he did last night about Paddy's manager?
I didn't, no.
Oh, my God. It's hilarious. He basically said the same thing as you, except he... The whole entire video was how dumb a son of a bitch his manager is.
Why? It's one of the funniest things
I've seen him do in a while, dude.
I know. Chael's good. Yeah, no, so obviously March 19th, I know that's a date that's been floating around for a while because I work for the company. But here's how you know it's real is when travel department's reaching out to me to book my flights. You know what I mean? So I'm like, okay, it's definitely going ahead in person. First time in 3 years it'll be that there's been a UFC with a crowd in London or any UFC for that matter. But
is your lady going to go with you? Like visit
pardon
home?
Me?
Is your lady going to go with you and go visit home?
No. I'm going out there a week beforehand. I've got this documentary coming out around the same time. So I've got to do a bunch of PR for that. And then I've got to go straight to Ohio after that to commentate on the 26th. But how I know it's happening for sure is that the UK, England, just scrapped all COVID restrictions. They got rid of the face masks and everything. So, I mean, that's good. But it's mainly just a popularity thing, I think, for Boris Johnson. I don't know if you probably don't know much about British politics, and I don't know much about British politics. I don't know much about politics, let's be honest. But what I do know is that in 2020, there was a full-scale fucking lockdown, like a lot of places.
Yeah.
And so he ordered the lockdown, and then he went to a fucking party with all his stuff.
Like every other asshole politician.
Exactly. So now it's all come out and he's denying it ever happened. But then some of the other politicians have fucking pretty much sworn a Bible and said, listen, he was there, he was partying and all the rest of it. But of course, politicians, you know, they just fucking pivot on the question. He won't give a straight answer. He's a piece of shit. He needs to step down. But of course, for popularity, he's going through all this shit. Oh, I know, COVID restrictions. Fuck him off and then give him something else to talk about.
That's why when Gavin Newsom got seen at French Laundry, that's like the perfect metaphor for it. Because not only is he out at a group dinner, he's at fucking French Laundry. Like the number one.
What is that? Is that a super fancy restaurant?
It's the number one restaurant in the world globally. Like in the.
Really?
Like on the top 100 restaurants list, it's number one. It's the most schnazzy, expensive fuck you restaurant in the world.
Brian, see if we can bring up while Jesse speaks. See if we can bring up the menu or the costs. I'm very interested in the number one. Where is it? California, obviously. Yeah. Well, you're supposed to keep talking, Jesse, while he brings it up. It's okay, second time on the show. We'll get the chemistry down. Yeah. We'll get it going. You keep talking. I don't know French laundry. You say French laundry to me, I'm thinking, Cyril Gahn needs to clean his fucking underpants. That's what I think you're saying. It turns out it's a restaurant.
It is the restaurant. Fucking.
There are no prices on this menu.
Because.
Damn.
You know why? You know why? That's what they do. And because I was in Paris years ago with my wife, and we went to this restaurant that was recommended. And I told the story, I think, before a long time ago on the podcast. So any longtime believers, apologies. We went to this restaurant. The woman at the hotel, she $350 per person, average dining price. And I know I'm going to sound like an asshole when I say this, but that's not too shocking compared to some places. Once you mix in some wine and stuff, and the prices of some places. No, but I was in Paris and the hotel recommended on the Friday night where to go. And we had a great time. So then on the Saturday night, I said, what do you recommend? We had an amazing time last night. So there's a restaurant. It's very exclusive. I think we can get you in. $850 per person indoor dining. That's a little different.
How was it?
Me. No. That's what Harrington's putting in there about French laundry. Average $850 per person. Anyway, so we went to this restaurant called Maxime's in Paris, and we went there. It was beautiful. It was an amazing experience. It was owned by the designer Pierre Cardin. We had a great time. But the point of the story, I sat down with my wife, and I looked at the menu, and I was like, "Fucking hell, this is expensive." And my wife, she goes, "Oh, I think I'm going to order the such and such," and it was the most expensive thing on that. And I go, "Babe, have you seen the prices?" And she says, "No, there's no prices on the menu. Only the men had prices on the man's menu."
There's right? There's two menus.
There's a menu for a woman with no prices because that's she regular. Shouldn't. Yeah. Oh, really? I'd never seen that before.
In fine dining, I used to run a country club restaurant, believe it or not, and we did that there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of gangster. It's kind of old school. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? And I don't mind it unless my wife's accidentally trying to order the most expensive thing. I said, "Listen, you're getting the asparagus, okay?" And we did. We got the asparagus to start because it was fucking expensive as asparagus. It was good though. The best asparagus I've ever had in my life. Anyway, what have we got, Harrington? Should we get into some actual MMA stuff? Should we, actually give this episode of the podcast a little direction?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's not like we got the first pay-per-view of the year coming up this weekend or anything, or some pretty big stories to talk about there. I don't know, Mike, you tell me, where do you think the most important part?
Well, I guess, I mean, we've got some new stuff. We'll get to that at the end. But go ahead, please, Jesse.
In person, which of those two guys looks more imposing? Just kind of standing there.
So I was going to say this because obviously 270 will start with that. We'll do the new stuff at the weekend. And my segue into it was that I interviewed them yesterday. Sat down with Brandon Moreno, Cyril Gahn, and Francis Ngannou. The crazy thing is, and I spoke about this before, they're huge men, but they are so softly spoken and you almost cannot hear them. And they're just because they're so confident. Do you know what I mean? And they are both equally intimidating, you know? But the interesting thing is, I spoke to Francis and I spoke to Cyril. Not a bad word from either man. Yeah. Right? There's this narrative out there that there's this bad blood and there's this beef and all the rest of it. And yeah, he used to train there and he left. So maybe between the coach and the student, because that's all, you know, that's a common thing. But with Francis and Cyril, yeah, there's competitiveness there. You know, they both want to win the fight. But unless they're lying, which I don't think they are, Francis couldn't have said, and he said, "No, he's a great guy. He helped me. He did this, you know, he had a lot of good things." And the same thing from Cyril, you know, which is nice. I mean, of course, it's as people that are involved with the sport, as fans watching, you do want to see a bit of shit talk because it's spicy, but it's also nice and refreshing to see it like that. Cause you know, when these two fuckers throw down, unless it's like the Derek Lewis fight, Derek Lewis and Ngannou I'm talking about, it should deliver.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I mean, I've got some buddies on Francis's team too, and when that thing happened, when Francis walked by and, you know, it was like, "Oh, he snubbed Cyril," they said that was just about the coach. Like, I had nothing to do with Cyril. Like, the coach has made it weird or whatnot.
Anytime you leave a coach, it's like that, you know? Yeah. You know, it gets, because the coaches don't take it too well. You know what I mean? So, But I mean, the fight's amazing. The fight's amazing. I mean, look, listen, if you look at Cyril Gahn, he was 19-0 as a Thai boxer, And let me tell you, in France, Europe, the level of Thai boxing out there is very, very high. I fought a couple of French Thai boxers. They're good. He went 19-0, switched to MMA. He's only had 10 fights. 10 fights. He's the interim champ, just knocked out Derek Lewis in the third round. I mean, what an incredible rise. And when you look at him, he's more coordinated. You know, he is. He's a big guy. He's extremely coordinated, but he's not as powerful. Mm-hmm. Both guys can knock a motherfucker out. We know that. No one's volunteering to get punched in the face of Cyril Garn. But I think it's going to be a tough fight for Francis. I think Harrington, what are the odds on this fight? Who's the favorite?
I know. I bet it last night. Cyril is Cyril's minus 150 and Francis was plus 120.
Okay. So a pretty decent favorite then.
But I think that, I mean, that's been moving. So I think that means a lot of people were betting on Cyril.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Like, when I look at those two guys, the quintessential, like, perfect example is Cyril fought Rozenstruik and he put on a clinic and just surgically picked him apart for 5 straight rounds. Francis fought Rozenstruik and he went in like a lunatic and he knocked him out in 15 seconds. I mean, that's like... That's the two kind of, I mean, you know, Francis looked very coordinated, very methodical against Stipe, but that fight is just, they both whipped his ass in just exactly opposite ways. Rose.
Yeah, exactly. But that's what I was going to say, because we didn't see Francis for a while. And then we saw him against Stipe, and you could see improvements. You know, mm-hmm. definitely see improvements with the takedown defense, with his patience, with his temperament in the fight. Because the temperament matters a lot in terms of pacing yourself and things like that. And now it's been about a year, hasn't it? Something like that. I think it's because that was like April, I think, 2021.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yep.
Yeah, so it's almost coming up for about a year. And he's got great coaches at Extreme Couture, Eric Nixick, you know, guys that understand the sport, understand the mentality behind it and the psychology behind it. So I think we're going to see an even better Francis Ngannou. But I do believe the path to victory for Cyril is to take his time, get it out of the first round when Francis is at his most dangerous. Yeah. You know, use his footwork, be light on his feet, and then pick him apart as the fight progresses. And for Francis, he's got to go forward, right? He can't stand back like Derek Lewis did against the fence, because you're going to get picked apart. Cyril's going to be in and out all fucking day long. He's got to go forward. He's got to cut the cage off and try and back him up against the fence. If he gets Cyril up against the fence, it's going to be a firefight. Both men can get hurt, but in a firefight where they're just throwing down, you got to favor Francis in that situation.
You know? Yeah. I mean, Francis has successfully turned every fight that he's had that I can think of outside of the Derek Lewis fight into a firefight at some point. Even the Stipe fight, when Stipe won, there were exchanges where, you know, Francis was able to catch Stipe and then, you know, Stipe took him down. But like,
well, the ending sequence, if you recall, was Stipe, I think it was a right hand, caught Francis with a right hand, kind of wobbled him a little bit.
So
Stipe ran in thinking, fuck, I've got him hurt. Yeah. And Francis just went, oh, no, brother.
Yeah.
I don't know. Francis is not Russian. But he cracks him in the face, and then that was that. So
I was talking about the first fight. Like, even the first fight when Francis got beat down, he still was able to get Stipe into kind of slugfest at points of that fight.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's going to be good. Obviously, co-main event, Brandon Moreno-Figueiredo. Third match for those guys. That's going to be fun. That's going to be a very different fight. Very different fight to the main event.
Yeah.
You know, you have two. Well, you got the two smallest men on the roster against the two biggest. Yeah. You know, literally couldn't be any different. But I'm excited for that. When I was talking to Brandon Moreno yesterday, he's like, this is the people's main event. He said, there's Mexico. Anaheim. He said, it's pretty much just like Mexico. I'm like, yeah, you're right. There's a massive Mexican, what's the word I'm looking for? Contingent, shall we say, or population. What is the word I'm looking for, Jesse? There's a lot of fucking Mexicans in Anaheim. Yeah.
A big Mexican fan base in LA.
Boom. There we go. So he's excited. He said, I'm the people's main event. So that'll be a good one.
Yeah.
Who you picking, Jesse? Main event and co-main?
Main event, I'm going to go Francis. Co-main, I'm going to go Moreno again. And look, like, in the co-main, Figueiredo is a monster. If someone would have told me two fights ago that I was going to pick anyone at 125 over Figueiredo, I would have said that they were crazy. But that last fight, you know, I really love watching guys come out. I'm pretty good at reading people's face and their energy. And like, when Moreno came out to that last fight, it was one of those rare ones where you could see, you're like, this guy is possessed by God right now. Like he was going to win that fight. He did not have a single doubt in his mind that he was going to win that fight. He looked so, so good in that fight.
Oh, no, he did. He was fantastic. You just said possessed by God. Are you a religious man, Jesse?
No, but I think he is.
I was hoping you were going to say yes. I was going to say, oh, so you fucking believe in God, but you don't believe man can go to the moon. That's what I was going to say. You can fucking believe in that.
Yeah.
Anyway, no offense, all you Christians and religious people out there. Yeah, so the first fight... Figueiredo should have won that fight. Well, I say should have won, but there was a point deduction which made it a draw. You know what I'm saying? I think, and I don't know, and this sounds like I'm taking away from Brandon Moreno. Brandon is fucking awesome, so I'm not doing that. But there is a possibility. There's a theory that perhaps maybe he took Moreno lightly in the rematch because he thought, oh, you know what? I was winning that fight. I had a point deducted. You know what I mean? So maybe he rested on his laurels a little bit. Maybe he didn't push himself like he should have done. I will say this. He was beaten fair and square by the better man because Brandon Moreno looked amazing in that second fight. Yeah. But when you look at Figueiredo, he's got knockout power. Great jiu-jitsu. He just never showed up in that second fight. You know what I mean? And that's partly because Moreno didn't give him a chance. Moreno beat him to the punch. Moreno went first. He was dominating the action. But I think we are going to see a different Figueiredo because this is it. If he wants to become a champion again, if he wants to continue with that championship lifestyle, change his life, you know, he has to beat Brandon Moreno. So therefore, I think we're going to see a good one.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, I've seen that Moreno did a bunch of work on his body now, right? Where his cut is a lot easier. Like, cause he was like a guy that everybody always said had like a really hard time cutting down to 25. And they're saying now he's in a good spot in terms of, in terms of his cut or whatnot.
No,
like a run at 35.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, who's the champ there? Peoria? No.
I mean, yeah. Jan's a savage, but I just mean,
I'd like to see him versus Cejudo though. Let's see Cejudo come back at 125. Right? I'd like to see that. Whoever wins Saturday night versus Cejudo, forget all this Volkanovski talk. You know what I mean? That's not going to happen, but he could, excuse me. He could probably come back and get an immediate title shot at 125.
That's true. Why? Yeah. He should.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. You're 100%. I didn't even think about that. You're right. That's exactly what he should do. 35 is a fucking minefield.
Go on, Harrington.
Well, the one monkey wrench of that is that Henry Cejudo is training Figueiredo for this fight. So if Figueiredo is able to get the win over Moreno, I couldn't see him turning on his coach like that. That's straight out of the WWF.
But hold on. Talking of which, didn't Cejudo call Brandon Moreno a traitor?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Davison Figueiredo said that he plans on ripping off Moreno's head and presenting it, the head of the traitor, to Henry Cejudo.
And what's the backstory behind that? What's Moreno and Triple C's relationship?
So according to Triple C, Moreno came down there and just trained in Scottsdale, learned a lot from Cejudo. And then for the Benavidez fight, Benavidez called up Brandon Moreno, and Brandon Moreno went and was a training partner, trying to like find the holes in Cejudo's game plan after training him.
Well,
oh, wow.
But you know what the thing is? It's a small world and you want to train with the best people possible. Do you know what I mean? And yeah, they might have trained. But that doesn't mean you don't sign a contract saying you'll never train someone else that may be fighting you one day. You know what I mean? You're just moving around. You're always trying to train with the best people. You're only as good as the people that you train with.
Like, did you bounce?
I did. Yeah. I mean, I didn't really bounce camps, but I went to lots of different gyms, lots of different training, you know, to get different sparring partners and stuff. Yeah. I did as much as I could. It's just what you got to do. Harrington, who you got winning? Brian, who you got this weekend?
I mean, it, you know, like Jesse said, I couldn't picture anybody beating Davison Figueiredo, you know, 18 months ago.
And, main event.
Oh, sorry. Main event.
Sorry, I should have said.
That's tough. I mean, I don't know. There's a part of me that just loves chaos, and I want to see what happens if Francis Ngannou wins this fight and what happens next. So, you know, for my money, yeah, I'm gonna say Francis Ngannou shocks the world as an underdog, you know, with that power, you know, and is the first man to really test Ciryl Gane's chin.
Brian McKay at B McKay's right. What say you?
As fun as it would be to see the heavyweight division thrown into chaos because Francis Ngannou's contract is up in some sort of weird air, I think Ciryl Gane's going to beat the brakes off of him, to be honest.
Yeah.
There was, I mean, if you watch all the old sparring footage, The majority of it is just Cyril Gane making him look like a child.
That's the coach put that stuff out. You heard yesterday that Francis knocked him out in sparring with a head kick?
Apparently so. And I asked the coach about it yesterday because Francis said, as I said before, the Francis had tremendous respect. They were both respectful. But Francis did stick to his gun and say, hey, listen, that sparring footage was definitely manipulated. Okay. And that was the word that he used. And that's what people do.
He said that he knocked him out with a head kick, though.
No, he never said that. I never asked him about that. But I did hear that. I saw something yesterday, a story or something, where apparently Francis might have knocked him out one time. But I'm sure if he had done, though, he would have said, fuck that. They didn't show the tape where it had me knocking him out, did it? Do you know what I mean? So if that did really happen, he would say that. But the coach did mention what, I think it was Harrington, kneed him in the stomach and the liver, and he dropped him down to a knee. But shit happens in training all the time. Do you know what I mean? You spar with each other. Harrington, you were going to say something. Go ahead.
So Francis's quote was that he accidentally knocked him out with a head kick. He wasn't meaning to, but it was an accidental strike in training that dropped Gone.
An even better piece of shit talk. I mean, I pulled it. It wasn't on purpose. I accidentally knocked him out with a head kick. I wasn't trying. Could you imagine if I was trying? Yeah. Do you know what I mean? So that's pretty good. That's pretty good. All right. I guess I better make a prediction. I think Francis, it could go either way. It could go. And as Brian said, I can see a world where Cyril Gane dances around all night and is just faster and more mobile and more agile. But I think Francis might catch him. But I'm not confident in my pick. I'm really not. But you got to make one. I'll say Francis.
My heart's split. I'm such an enormous fan of Francis that.
Me too.
I bet on Cyril to dampen the emotional blow if Francis doesn't win. That's where I put my money. That's how I made my decision.
Francis Ngannou, for as scary as he is, and I'm sure people wear different hats in life, don't they? Do you know what I mean? Like, I come on here, you know, we're always different, depending on who you're with. So I'm sure he's wearing a certain type of hat when we talk. But he's always so nice, and he's always so calm, and he's always so welcoming and kind. Honestly, he really is. Anything I need, I've mentioned getting him on the podcast. Yes, of course, you have my number. You call me anytime. I've yet to follow up because he's training for a fucking fight, you know what I mean? So I don't want to bother him, but he's just always that kind of guy. The energy from him was always so warm and respectful and nice. So maybe that's skewing a little bit, but I'm a big fan of his. Cyril Gane, to be honest, the same fucking thing. You know what I mean? It's weird. The two baddest motherfuckers on the planet right now are two actual sweethearts. You know what I mean? It's a fun one. It's a fun one. All right.
What's going on with Stipe? Where do you think Stipe fits into this thing? Because, you figure John Jones probably getting the next shot and then maybe the loser fights Stipe? What do you think?
Oh, I don't know. That's interesting. Stipe should be out there making some noise, or should be at least doing some interviews about it and letting the world know, hey, I should get the winner. Because, of course, he's one-on-one with Ngannou. One would have thought a rubber match. If he wins, potentially, maybe Stipe goes in. Because John Jones, we all want to see him in there, but who fucking knows? Who knows what's going on? Do you know what I mean? Whether or not they can reach a deal. So who was it yesterday was saying, I saw a tweet, they don't even know if he really wants to fight. I'm sure John wants to fight when he gets a correct deal, but when they get the correct deal, do you know what I mean? So we might not see that for quite some time. If Ngannou wins, it should be Stipe Miocic. But of course, he's talking about Tyson Fury. He said yesterday, we've been talking on social media for about 2 years about fighting one another. And I don't think that would be good for Francis, but I want to fucking see it. It'd be great for his bank account. It'd be great for us as fans. It'd be fucking awesome to see the UFC champion against the boxing heavyweight champ.
Dude, I got a question for you about that.
Please.
So I was talking about this with someone. Now, if they took off the boxing gloves and they did a boxing match in MMA gloves, do you think that taking the boxing gloves off gives Francis more or less likelihood of winning? Like, do you think it makes Tyson Fury harder to beat or gives Francis more of a chance to beat him?
You mean doing it in boxing gloves as opposed to MMA gloves?
If they did a boxing match in MMA gloves.
Listen. The main thing that people would say is that it changes how you defend and all the rest of it. You know what I mean? Because if you cover it with boxing gloves, you can almost cover up completely. Whereas with MMA gloves on, there's still some holes. All right, fair enough. Tyson's still by far the better boxer. He's still by far got the better hands. Still by far got the better reflexes. Still by far got the faster. I mean, I saw some footage of Tyson this week hitting the pads, Tyson Fury. And fuck me. You know, there's a reason why he's winning so many fights, because he's fucking fast.
He's 6'9".
He's 6'9". He's gigantic and he's fast. And you know, he's not to look at physically. You know, he's not all ripped. He doesn't look like your typical athlete. But he is. He's got a fucking gas tank on him. He works his ass off and he's fast as fuck. On top of that, he can sell a fight like no one else. So it would be interesting. And I'd feel for Francis in that, because I think Tyson Fury would eat him for fucking breakfast at a press conference. Do you know what I mean? He would. It wouldn't even be fair, that one. Poor old Francis getting bullied by Tyson Fury there.
Anyway. I just imagined eating a jab from Tyson Fury with a 4-ounce glove sounds fucking awful.
Well, there was a quote, and this is going back some time. Remember the first Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder match?
Yeah.
Right? And then right at the end, it might have even been the final round, Deontay dropped him, right?
Yep.
And then Tyson Fury rose from the grave. It looked like he was done, but he got up and he went forward. And he pressured him. Yep. And I thought, wow, fucking, this is crazy. I thought he would have got on his bike. He would have danced around a bit to the end of the round, you know. But he was talking about it this week or last week, whenever it was. I saw it recently. He said, no, I knew that if I backed away and let him come at me, then he was going to catch me again. And I would have been knocked out unconscious. So he said, I had no choice but to go forward. And then he realized that when he went forward, that Deontay Wilder had no answer for him coming forward. So that's why in the second fight, he said, that's why I went right forward to him the way that I did. And he took him out in style. And then in the third fight, he had the same game plan. So I don't know.
That just heavy too. That's
part of me.
So he went in heavy so that so he could lean on him.
Like, yeah,
so
that's right.
Forward,
yeah.
Lean on him, make him work. That's really interesting. So he was his defense was offense. He's like, the only defense I could have is to just pour the offense on him.
Well, kind of like you probably saw Giga Chikadze and Calvin Kattar last week. Calvin went forward the whole time. And again, similarly, Chikadze had no answer. Anyway. Other stuff to talk about. Best of luck to everyone fighting this weekend. Can't wait for it. I'll be there. My wife and kids are going to be in attendance, but I'll be up working for ESPN. So.
I can't. And Gabrielle can't go now because our kids, because we had COVID. And like now.
You have COVID? You had?
I'm testing negative now, but my kids. And so we were going to have a babysitter that was going to come. And now the babysitter can't come. So I'm taking one of my buddies instead.
Nice. Well, you'll have a better time, let's be honest. where are your seats?
Section 108, sixth row.
Okay.
Maybe right, like floor seats.
Say hi if I can. Harrington, tell me about Jorge Masvidal. He's talking a bit of shit on Colby Covington. This is a big fight that's coming up. I'm very excited for it. Is that the next pay-per-view or is it March?
No, the next pay-per-view is Whitaker Adesanya and then March is...
Yeah. February 12th, Whitaker Adesanya. March 5th, Colby versus Jorge. Jorge's been talking a bit of shit. Of course, they're going to fight. That's what he does. He's not selling the fight. This is just who he is. But go on, read out the quote.
Well, yeah, you know, he said he's got an issue with Colby's persona. You know what? It's another thing that really bothers me about this guy. It's kind of like the Chael Sonnen thing. Chael Sonnen had this shit talking because he didn't have an exciting style for a long time. He was just wrestling guys to death. So he had to do that extra talking to get himself over. That influenced guys like Colby. That's all he does. See, he has talked people's wives. How low as a fucking society have we gotten? We've accepted that. You're talking about people's wives for no reason. Talking about Amanda Nunes teams and things like that. In doing that, he inspires a future generation. So some 12-year-old looking at it and thinking, oh, this time... Oh, this is the way to go. Insult the whole nation. Get yourself over because you can't fight. So you have to insult the whole country now. You have to insult somebody's wife. It just doesn't make sense.
Yeah. I agree with some of that. I disagree with some of it because Colby can certainly fight. Okay. He's not just mouth. He the man can fucking fight. And in fact, talking to Chael Sonnen, and Chael Sonnen said it was very... Now, of course, Chael and Colby there... They're kind of close, I think. What did he say? He said, oh, it was very nice of Jorge to sacrifice his career or something like that, because if he loses this fight, he's done. But anyway, Colby, yeah, he talks shit, of course. And JL Sonnen did talk shit. And maybe, you know, he did turn him into a star. Maybe style wasn't going to do that. But, you know, shit talking, it's just part of it. It's part of professional sports, professional fighting for sure. But I will say this, he's absolutely damn right. You don't talk about someone's wife, because that's what Colby apparently has been doing, talking about his ex-wife. And he actually called Jorge a bad father and stuff like that. I think that kind of stuff shouldn't be said. You know what I mean? Talking about shit someone's father. Children yeah. and fucking wife. You call me yeah. a shit father, fuck me. Which again, on the flip side, and I'm sorry to hog the conversation, might be genius from Colby, because if they said that to me, I would. That would work. That would get me in the fucking red zone all day long.
And that's where you want the guy that, yeah, you want him
yeah.
mad.
You want him mad. You want him acting out of emotion. So that's fucking genius from Colby. Harrington O'Brien, just look up, see, because I did read that he was saying things about his ex-wife. See if we can find the quote. I would be interested.
Gaethje said that about Connor too. And I've said that a million times. I'm like, if they ever fight, you can't wash that off. Even if he said it 6 years ago, he called him a shit father. Like, he'll fucking remember.
Gaethje just had a fight book, didn't he, by the way, against Charles Oliveira. That's
that official?
It has been rumored by a couple of different MMA sites. The UFC has not announced it yet, but they are targeting May in Brazil.
Nice.
Whoa.
Nice. That's nice. Huge for Oliveira. Just while you look up huge. That quote, I'm happy for Oliveira. What a fucking guy. Gets to fight Justin Gaethje. I mean, who knows who's going to win that. But, you know, to be the champion and to main event, to defend the belt in your home country after the journey that he's been on. I had the same thing at the end of my career. Yeah, God bless him. Very, very happy for Charles Oliveira.
If he beats Gaethje, especially if he wins by stoppage, he will be in a very like serious position to where people can't really play the Khabib card anymore. You know, where it's like, I mean, he's going to have to fight Islam Makhachev after that. If Makhachev beats Dariush.
Yeah.
But Charles Oliveira is a legitimate champion.
I mean, no, for sure. You can't deny that. It's wild. We never would have thought we'd say that sentence 2 years ago. Brian's put the quote in here. Covington says, Masvidal's a piece of shit. He's cheating on his wife. He's cheating on his kids. I don't know how he cheats on his kids. He lies to his kids. He's just not a good person. So I want to expose him in front of the whole world.
George is married. Is George married?
So this was after Colby Covington did a Twitch stream with Masvidal. Masvidal's, I mean, they're still on paper, still legally married. They have separated, but yeah, that's the mother of his children.
You just that stuff. You just stay out of it, especially if they're still fucking legally married and there's all kinds of, you know, a divorce and you know the settlements and all that type of stuff. I don't think you should be out here playing games with Mrs. Masvidal. Great catching up with you, Maritza. Oh my God. I tell you, Covington's going to end up with a bullet.
In the same room?
He's going to get a bullet in his fucking head. Never mind a kick in the head. Do you know what I mean? Right? Masvidal is a serious person. Masvidal knows a lot of other serious people. I've been told never to go to Cuba. Do you know what I mean? And Masvidal are cool now, you know, because of him and Yoel, you know, when we were having beef. And the amount of death threats that I got on fucking Instagram was unbelievable. And in fact, it was Dana White that said, Mike, I'm telling you. Oh, no, he said, don't go to Miami. He said, Mike, don't go to Miami. You're going to get fucking stabbed up pretty quick or shot or something. But I don't know. Miami, reach out to me. Let me know, you Cubanos. We're good.
If anybody ever heard anything I said about Masvidal and got mad, let me just make perfectly clear. He's like my favorite fucking fighter on earth. So don't take anything I said out of context and be mad at me. Now I'm scared. I mean,
the fight's going to be amazing. Simple as that. Harrington, what do you want?
So what I wanted to ask you about, my favorite piece of trash talking ever, Chael Sonnen said to Anderson Silva, I'm going to walk into your house, slap your wife on the ass, and tell her to make me a steak rare. Right? That to me got me to spend $70 or whatever it was at that time on a pay-per-view as a 19-year-old kid. Is that crossing a line as long That's as different. It's still in the abstract?
That's different. He was having a laugh. That was a funny line. He wasn't necessarily addressing his wife directly. You know, I'm gonna beat your ass and get you. What did he say? I'm gonna come in there and slap your wife's ass
and have her make me a rare steak or something.
Yeah, that's not too bad. But when
that's
you're
impersonal.
It's just a throwaway comment. When it's talking about your actual fucking wife and you're talking about divorces and things, you just don't fucking go there, in my opinion. In my opinion, you don't do that. You know what I mean? So
it's the nuclear option. Like when I see guys when I see guys talk about like, oh, this guy, you know, this guy's fucking around on his wife, and that, and I won't even cite these public incidents when people have done that, just because, but I always watch it. I'm like, these motherfuckers must not be married. They must not be married like I'm married. Cause like you start fucking with my marriage for real. Like,
yeah. No, for sure, for sure. All right, let's just take a quick second to hear from Shopify. If you have a business, you want to take that business online and you want to sell things online, okay? Open your store, shop, business, whatever it is, to the billions of people on the planet as opposed to just a few people in your neighborhood, in your area. And you want to do that by using Shopify, okay? This is the easiest way to do it. Shopify gives entrepreneurs the resources once reserved for big businesses. So upstart startups and established businesses alike can sell everywhere. They can synchronize online and in-person sales and effortlessly stay informed. Scale your business today, okay? That's what you got to do, right? You might think it's very, very complicated, but it's not. With Shopify, you can reach customers online and across social networks with an ever-growing suite of channel integrations and apps, including Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Pinterest, and more. You gain insights as you grow with detailed reporting of conversion rates, profit margins, and beyond. More than a store, Shopify grows with you. Listen, if you've got a business, take it online. Do it the easy way. Do it the cheap way. Do it with Shopify. Right now, go to shopify.com/believe, all lowercase, for a free 14-day trial and get full access to Shopify's entire suite of features. Grow your business with Shopify today. Go to shopify.com/believe. Shopify.com/believe. Okay. Where were we? Bourbon Street Bitch is making a fucking, he's making a comeback, Harrington. The other day, I'm sitting in a Thai restaurant, right? You text me and said, oh, look, the Bourbon Street Bitch has been reaching out to me, apparently wants to fight for $1,000. Quick backstory, I when that guy assaulted me in New Orleans, you know, I made a video about it and I said, if you want to fight someone because you're a little bitch, I'll give you $1,000 if you box Harrington. Apparently coming out the woodwork. I'm sitting in a Thai restaurant, I tell my wife, and my wife goes, she fucking, you think she'd tell me this stuff sooner? She goes, oh, yeah. He's been DMing me for fucking ages. And I'm like, what? Let me take a look. And it didn't look like him because the guy in the profile picture had a lot of tattoos on his face. This guy didn't, although maybe that's his favorite rapper or something. I don't know.
Could be. Could also be a face swap app. It could be any number of things. But the pictures on his page do look kind of similar. And then, yeah, I
tried to look on his page, but he was private. Did you give him a friend request? Whatever?
Oh, dude, we have been DMing for the last 3 days. Yeah, I'm definitely following him back. We are chatting.
Let's get it on screen. Let's get it on screen, Brian, if possible, because I want to look at some of his shots if we can.
Okay, so this is the picture that he sent me. It's a picture of him with the internet celebrity Wide Neck, and I think that's your man.
No, that's him, and he's even got the same fucking bandana on. Do we have another picture, please? Is that possible, Brian? Or is that too much?
So
Can we show his Instagram home screen? You know what I'm saying?
Can I share my screen? Because Brian's not going to be able to pull it up because Brian doesn't follow me. So I'm going to try doing
it. He's always wearing a bandana on his neck. What's that about?
Face mask, bro.
Was he wearing, wearing a bandana on his neck the night that punched you?
Yeah, he was,
Is this showing up for y'all?
No, I can see that. I can see that. Just doesn't show... I mean, I'm not sure if that's... I mean, the other reason... His face looks like him, but he's got different clothes on. I don't know.
I would know his voice in a heartbeat. Like, he's like,
yes.
So I'm like, yo, respect my mind. Respect my mind.
Yeah. And I was like, go fuck yourself, you piece of shit. How about that? Suck my motherfucking dick. Come see me. Okay. You think I'm going to pay you $1,000 to box Harrington? No, I'm going to show up. I'm going to break your fucking neck and throw you in a canal. Never to be seen again, you little cunt. Tell him to send the fucking voice note, Harrington, so we can see if that's it. And then we'll set the little fucker up. Yeah. We'll entice him with $1,000, you little peasant. Anyway.
Peasant.
Fucking prick.
Peasant fucking is the best fucking, that's the best word ever.
Oh, dear. It makes me sound like a snob, though, but still, fucking little cunt. Yeah. Smacks me in the face when I'm there with my wife and kids. Do you know what I mean? Low life piece of shit. Anyway, what have we got to finish off on? Oh, Francis Ngannou. We never spoke about this. It's relative to the main event. He's getting half of his purse in Bitcoin. What do you think of that, Jesse?
I think I think that that whole team, like the CAA team, like Markel, Francis, Kevin Lee, they're big crypto advocates. Because I remember Kevin Lee got paid in I think Ethereum.
Did he really?
Yeah, in his Eagle FC contract, I think he's getting paid in either Bitcoin or Ethereum.
Right, right.
But yeah, there's
yeah. I mean, listen, it's weird. A lot of people are still very, very skeptical about it, but cryptocurrencies are here, and they're here to stay for a while, and that's pretty ballsy of Francis Ngannou doing that. But, I mean, I get paid in some Bitcoin frequently all the time, you know, and then even on my YouTube channel, I do an ad for a company called I Trust Capital, and we've done it on the podcast here before as well, I think. And the people in the comments, oh, look at this guy, unsubbed, Michael. You're out there flogging cryptocurrencies. And like, number one, it's got nothing to do with cryptocurrency, but well, it kind of does, but I'm not selling you cryptocurrency. It's an opportunity to save for your future. But there's no scam. There's no scam in crypto. Not. It is not a fucking scam. Now, granted,
well, some of them are definitely scams.
I was going to say, granted, there's thousands of cryptocurrencies and some of them aren't worth, you know, wiping your ass with. They're not. Yeah. But there's some of them that are very, very good. You know what I mean? And I've invested in quite a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. Bitcoin, Ethereum, Solana, the, you know, Bitcoin Cash. I don't know. I mean, I'm not an expert. I have some stuff, but mine are just kind of the run of the mill normal ones, Ethereum, Bitcoin, etc.
Yeah. Well, Francis, he did an NFT, and the UFC are coming out with their own NFT soon as well, which, to be fair, I thought the UFC would have jumped on this NFT craze a little bit sooner. Of course, they're sponsored by crypto.com. So, you know,
$100 million deal. I've got a big NFT project coming out too. I'm partnered with a bunch of Navy SEALs from SEAL Team 6, doing a bunch of stuff with the guys who actually did like the Bin Laden raid and all this stuff.
Oh, shit.
It's good. It'll be
tell me about that. Not the NFTs, because we're probably boring everyone to fucking death for most people that aren't in the non-fungible token world. But I would love to hear about the guys that fucking off Osama bin Laden.
Well, the way that actually happened was there was that huge NFT sale that was a Beeple piece that sold for like $66 million. And I have a buddy named Jeff Gum, who's a Navy SEAL, and I know him really well. And I remember looking at that Beeple piece and being like, that's $66 million. I was like, imagine if you got the actual team guys that raided the Bin Laden compound and they did something commemorating that. And it's the actual guys for the NFT. I mean, what would that be worth? And I brought it to Jeff, and it just so happened that Jeff's the most well-networked Navy SEAL on fucking earth. And then so, you know, our first call, I was on with Rob O'Neill. The very first meeting that we had, I was on with Rob O'Neill, the one who actually shot and killed Bin Laden. He's with us.
Wow.
Ed Byers, Congressional Medal of Honor recipient, Navy SEAL, is a partner of ours. We got another guy, McTeams, who's got he's an incredible artist. He's a creative director. So, yeah.
Just going back, go on.
I just got my first NFT yesterday.
No. Which, what'd you get?
Yeah, I'm about to pop it up.
I haven't bought one yet.
Because I'm a stupid monkey.
Oh, you love the AMC stock, right? You're still going hard on that? Fuck me. That bubble burst last year. My son came in and bought a ton of stock, far too expensive, and lost money. I did some NFTs with Block Asset just recently, but I just wanted to go back to that thing about Francis Ngannou, because if Harrington, what is the script on that deal? He's flogging a deal, or he's talking about a deal where they're giving away $300,000 worth of Bitcoin, right?
Yeah, so apparently he's going to take half of his guaranteed money in Bitcoin, and he's going to run that over just because it's so much easier to get money to people in Africa using blockchain technology than it is traditional banks. Yeah.
The
idea.
No, it's not the deal. The deal is that fucking $300,000 in Bitcoin to these Bitcoin cryptocurrencies billionaires is fuck all. And that's why. No, it's nothing, because that's why you got all these guys in their mid-20s. And they're fucking legit billionaires from cryptocurrency because, you know, they're in that space. Another word could be they're fucking nerds, and they were all about it, and they were way ahead of everyone else. And they bought it when it was fucking almost free, and they got a ton of it. You know what I'm saying? So now when you see all these NFTs that are going for super crazy money, that's these guys that have got literally billions and billions and billions of dollars in cryptocurrency, and they got to do something with it. And I don't know whether it's a tax dodge or something like that, or they're moving money around. But literally, when Bitcoin was worth 0.005 cents and it gets up to $60,000 a coin, and they bought $50,000 worth, they are worth fucking billions and billions of dollars now. So that's why these NFTs are going up like crazy. And I don't know.
I think I figured out the NFT scam, right? So
it's not a scam. It's not a scam. NFTs are here to stay. It's not a scam.
Well, hear me out. I think so. You have a ton of money, right?
I don't have a ton of money, but you're talking one.
This is a hypothetical. It's all relative, right? So you get a ton of money. You have somebody with a ton of money who needs to who wants to make more money. So they go and they have a company mint them an NFT, and then they use like a corporate shell company to buy that NFT with their own money for $1 million, let's say. So now on the blockchain, that so they pay themselves $1 million for their own NFT. Now on the blockchain, that NFT has a receipt price of $1 million. So now they can go and sell it to somebody else for a discount and make that much money. You know, it's so genius. I wish I could fucking just get it.
Yeah. Yeah, so basically it's just a way of turning the cryptocurrency profits into real money without having to pay a shit ton of tax on it, potentially.
Yeah.
There's got to be. It's crazy because to think these about- sorry, these little pixelated fucking things are shit.
Yeah, I don't understand. Yeah, I don't understand.
I'm involved with a company called Playland, and they're huge in the NFT space, so I should know about that. They actually own the page NFT on Instagram, which doesn't sound like a valuable asset. I shouldn't really be saying this. Oh my God.
Yeah.
We got offered $100 million for it. It's not me, the company.
For the URL?
For the fucking Instagram page. For the Instagram page, the first offer was $50 million.
$100 million for the.
They got offered $50 million to start, right?
And they said no to that.
They said no because it's worth so much more. And then another company came recently and offered $100 million. As I say, I'm a fucking very, very minority stakeholder in this. But I'm like, so are we all selling and fucking having a big party because we made it, baby? And they're like, oh no, we're not selling. And I'm like, oh my God, you're out of fucking mind.
Oh, you could probably get one of them. You could probably get them to buy you out then, if they like it beyond 100 million for the fucking Instagram page.
Yeah, exactly. It's fucking wild. All right, real quick, let's just hear from our newest sponsor, which is paintyourlife.com. Listen, we're all doing things out there. We're all celebrating birthdays, weddings, anniversary, maybe something special, maybe a nice day out. And we're all snapping away. We're taking pictures. We've got the smartphones in our hand. Whenever I say to Rebecca, take a picture, she takes about 50. But anyway, that's a different story. So we're getting all these pictures. But, you know, gone are the days where you actually print those pictures off. When you turn that picture into a real life, beautiful piece of art. And that is what paintyourlife.com are offering. You get a truly professional hand-painted portrait created from any of your photos at a truly affordable price. Or you combine photos of people or places you love into one painting. You can choose from a team of world-class artists. By the way, we're talking about taking your picture and having it painted for you and then delivered to your house in as little as 2 weeks. As I say, you choose from a team of world-class artists, work with them until every detail is perfect. It is a user-friendly platform. It is easy to order a custom-made hand-painted portrait in less than 5 minutes. So all you do is it's super fast. As I say, you get it in less than 2 weeks. You send any picture of yourself, your children, a special place, someone you loved who isn't around anymore, a cherished pet, Alfie, even an action shot of you or your children. You can even have Harrington, a picture of him pretending to hit pads or spar someone. You know, turn it into an oil painting or into a painting. You work with your own artist, you get it taken care of, and then it turns up at your house. These things are magnificent. Shows up in less than 2 weeks. And listen, the good thing is that paintyourlife.com, there is no risk. If you don't love the final painting, your money is refunded, guaranteed. And right now, there is a limited time offer. Get 20% off your painting. Yes, a huge 20% off and free shipping. To get this special offer, all you got to do is text the word BELIEVE to 64,000. That's text the word BELIEVE to 64,000. If you didn't hear me the first two times, I'm coming again. Text BELIEVE to 64,000. paint your life. Celebrate the moments that matter most and have them in a beautiful picture that you can keep on your walls forever. Terms apply. Available at paintyourlife.com/terms. Once more, text BELIEVE to 64,000 to turn your pictures into beautiful art. Okay, where were we? But anyway, all right, Harrington, anything we should squeeze in here before we sign off for the day and we all go about our lives?
Here's the one thought that I'll add to that Bitcoin conversation really quick, which I always think is hilarious, is like what people were using Bitcoin for currency-wise back then when it was so inexpensive was buying and selling illicit shit online. And so like you have these people that were like online drug dealers that were taking this stuff to do like, you know, $500 bags of this and they would ship it out. And all of a sudden, those fucking assholes are billionaires now.
No, Jesse. I think you're confusing the dark web with legitimate business on the blockchain.
No, but
there is a dark web, and that what you're describing there is the dark web where people wanted to sell fucking drugs online and all the rest of it, or whatever it was. You want to get a gun, or whatever kind of illicit, illegal shit. The dark web, which I've never been to, by the way, just want to throw that out there. I think you're confusing the two.
No, because they pay well on the dark web. What they would pay with was Bitcoin.
Because otherwise they could have, it's traceable. If they paid through their bank account, it could be traceable. Okay, I get that. But okay. Clarification. Not every motherfucker involved with Bitcoin. We're talking legitimate business people.
Oh, no,
here.
Of course. I'm saying that there are some people, like if there's a way to accidentally become a billionaire, selling drugs online seems like a really silly way for you to accidentally stumble, or, you know, trip over your dick and be worth fucking $800 million.
Yeah, that's not the right word. It's fortunate for a lot of people. It's fucking annoying for me, but lots of people did trip over the dick and become worth $800 billion. It's wild. There's so many ways to make money if you know about this new, like the metaverse and NFTs and all the rest of it, because this is like a whole new, it's frontier that we're embarking on right now, because, and I know a little bit about this because I made some investments recently, the blockchain, like right now, NFTs are all the craze, right? Yeah. And that is one iteration of the blockchain. Blockchain technology kind of came about on the scene for cryptocurrencies, and now NFTs have jumped on, but that's just the beginning of crypto, of the blockchain and what it can be used for different businesses. And there's so many different businesses out there that are finding new ways, they're pioneering it, and they're finding new ways of using a business that can be used for the blockchain. So there's going to be so much new shit. And we spoke about this recently on the show, so we won't get into it, but the fucking metaverse, I mean, it's just, it's wild, man. It's wild where the world is going, and it's very hard to understand. I mean, I'm sitting here like I understand it, and I do have a little bit of knowledge on it, not too much, but it's still hard to wrap your head around it all.
Do you have an Oculus? Like, do you have a VR headset?
I do. Yeah.
Us too.
Yeah, no, we got one a while ago. Lucas, my son, uses it. I don't use it. Lewis, who used to co-host the show, he uses it for porn, which is one of the uses, I believe. I can't imagine my wife would be too happy if she came in one day and I'm wearing my son's Oculus while jerking off. There's an image that no one needs to see. Do you know what I mean? Let alone my son. And the problem is you got an Oculus on. You're not aware if anyone's walked in. You're in virtual reality. You're fucking going crazy. Yeah. So never done that one. Not going to do it just yet. But there we go. All right, ladies and gentlemen, UFC 270 this Saturday. We'll be coming back with a review show on Sunday, which is unusual. So we're bringing it in early for you guys. Jesse on fire. Anything to say before we wrap this one up, my friend?
You're the best, dude. Looking forward to seeing you on 270.
Come on.
And you should fight Jake Paul. You should take that money. Go fight Jake Paul, dude. That's the wrong Mike is taking that fight.
Oh, yeah, Mike Tyson, yeah. But Mike Tyson came out as well this week and said, did you see that? Because there is rumors, Jake Paul, Mike Tyson. Yeah. Mike Tyson came out and he tweeted, he said, well, this is all news to me. I just saw Jake in St. Bart's and he never mentioned anything. Now, you know, the fight might still materialize and I would fight Jake Paul.
Talking of which,
hey, Harrington and Brian and Jesse, did any of you guys see Tyron Woodley on the MMA Hour talking about his loss to Jake Paul?
No.
I just saw the quote.
Yeah.
What did he say?
Listen, just to give you a little bit of background. He just needs to accept it. He's like, he's going on. He got knocked out cold. okay, cold, badly, you know, yeah. And they, God bless you. It takes balls to step in there. But he's basically, I was winning the fight. I was doing everything. You know, I dropped my hand for 1 second. Other than that, you know, I was winning the fight. I'm like, it was very delusional. And I like Tyron. He's a good guy. But like that, I watched that interview and I was like, wow, someone needs to get, fucking deal him a hand of reality here, you know. But go on, Harrington.
Well, I don't know. The one quote that I did see that I thought kind of lined up with that was he said, I took a dive, but I didn't mean to. That MF-er just put some shots together, right? Like he essentially said, yeah, I just got put out by the guy.
Yeah, no, but he's saying, yeah, I took a dive, meaning I took a fall. That's what he meant. Yeah. Maybe bad choice.
I fell forward.
We did definitely fall forward and face down, but still.
You could see, I mean, like, you know, when I saw the people saying that it was rigged, I was like, give me a break. You could see as soon as Jake Paul stepped forward, he tried to catch that body shot. You know, like, he took his left hand, tried to catch it, and it was not a body shot. It was an overhand.
Yeah, no, exactly. And that's the way fights go. Do you know what I mean? And no doubt we'll have something similar to say on Monday, because I guarantee either Cyril Garn or Francis Ngannou, one of them hits the canvas. Has to. The danger here is that it turns out like Francis Ngannou versus Derrick Lewis, which was a very forgettable fight. I don't think that's going to go down. Francis will have learned the mistake from that. He's got to go forward. But still, ladies and gentlemen, thank you all for watching the show. We appreciate the support. Do me a favor, wherever you get your podcast, leave a little like, leave a little comment for us, and leave a review. If you haven't already subscribed to the YouTube channel, Believe You Me Podcast, please go on there, subscribe, and ring the bell. Make sure you get all the content. Oh, and while I'm at it, go to Jesse's channel, Jesse on Fire. Subscribe and ring that bell. And Harrington, why don't you jump on and do the plugs real quick?
Not too much else to add, other than if you enjoy the show and want to catch over 300 episodes you can't get anywhere else, ad-free and uncensored, head to gascitalnetwork.com. Use the promo code BYM to get a 7-day free trial. And if you want to send us emails, bympod@gmail.com.
Correct, Amundo, which actually reminds me, we got some questions real quick. I was going to sign off there, but Brian, pardon me. What have we got today?
Give me 1 second to pull that up, because
I thought we were about to
dip out.
I know. Yeah. Well, we were going to dip out, and then when he said BYM part, I'm like, oh shit, yeah, we haven't done the questions down. Yet.
Well, yeah, I got a question here from a regular show contributor, Dallas Singer.
Good old Dallas.
Hey, what's up, guys? Dallas again. Got a question mainly for Brian and Harrington. Champ, chime in as always. Now, considering you guys both live in New York, have you been dabbling in the newly legal online gambling? I know it's been a big game changer for me. So far, so good. But I could see this being a problem in the future. How's it going for you? Let us know. Later.
Well, I mean, you're already degenerates. Have you taken the degenerate level to the next rung on the ladder?
Yeah, dude, it was really a problem anytime I would go to like Jersey to watch a fight when I could bet live on it. And now that it's in my phone, that I'll be honest with you, I had Calvin Kattar to win by KO, TKO in the third, fourth, and fifth round. And man, I was on the edge of my seat. It did make it a lot more fun.
Who do you bet with?
DraftKings, FanDuel, who, like, they're all available in New York now, which is a very new thing.
Yeah. So if Harrington goes homeless again pretty soon, we know what's happening. Do we have any others, Bri?
Yeah, we do have one more, and I'd just like to say that I would also be a degenerate if I started gambling. Like, I would go homeless immediately, so I need to stay way far away from.
Do you gamble, Jesse?
I was just going to say the way I bet is I use it as an emotional mitigation tool. So like, I bet on if I'm tied to France thing, winning, Brian. I bet on Cyril. Like if I want Michael Chandler to win, I bet on Gaethje, and that way I can't lose.
Yeah, no, I've done that one time. Go on, Brian. What else we got, bud?
What's up, Bisping, Brian, Harrington, Leland out in LA? You may know me as Leland Valnex on Twitter. I'm a day one believer, first time question asker. I love UK food, culture, everything about it. One of my favorite meals, if not my favorite meal ever, is a roast with Yorkshire pudding, potatoes, cream spinach, the whole deal. Especially on Christmas Eve. My question is, what's your favorite UK dish, traditional UK dish? And tell your boy Nick Pete over at Fight Disciples that I'm the real Roasty Challenge winner, lad. The real cash cow. Anyway, keep doing what you're doing. Favorite podcast. Love y'all so much.
Thank you, Leyland. That is very, very kind. Day one believer. Wow. Thank you, Leyland. Appreciate you, buddy. British food. Let me start with you, Jesse. Have you ever been to England?
My wife's a UK citizen.
Oh, well, there you go. But have you been there?
I have been there, yeah.
Yeah.
And her,
British food gets a bad rap. British food gets shit on. And in fact, yesterday I was talking to Cyril Garn and I asked him for a bit of fun on my YouTube channel, so go check it out. I said, come on, I asked a few questions about the fast. All right, let me ask you this. British food, French food, which is better? He's like, oh, this is not a question. This is not a real question because British food is terrible. And that is what people say. But British food is fucking good. Real good dishes done well. It's awesome. Come on,
Bubble and squeak.
Fuck bubble and squeak. I don't have that shit. I've never had it in my life, but it is a thing. I've never had it. What is a good dish? I mean, beef Wellington.
The stuff he laid out was pretty good. Like that.
Yeah.
My wife's mom makes all that stuff.
Yeah, roast beef, Yorkshire pudding, gravy, all that stuff. You know, I had bangers and mash when I was over there, which doesn't sound good, but done properly. Like,
what's a banger?
Sausages. It's a sausage.
Fair enough.
Yeah, sausage and mash with onion gravy. Oh, that's good. Beef Wellington, which is like steak, like filet mignon in like pastry and stuff with gravy. Oh, it's delicious. It's delicious. Very hearty, you know what I mean? But you're not going to lose weight eating it, that's for sure. Anyway, Jesse, I appreciate your time, bud.
Absolutely.
All right, man. Well, listen, everyone, thank you very much. That's our show. We'll be back with another episode. Enjoy the fights. Enjoy your weekend. Be good. Be safe. All that shit. And we'll see you with the next show in a few days. Take care.